Harvest Thanksgiving, I think there's always a temptation to make it a sort of nostalgia fest. Think of the shades of the constable's hayway, the stooks of corn being brought into the barn, the villagers gathering to thank God for enough food to keep them alive till the next harvest. Well, that's all past, isn't it? Gone are the days of ploughing and gathering with horses and binders. It's now combine harvesters that scrape the fields bare. And most of us haven't got any connection, at least a direct connection to land, unless of course you've got allotment to grow or you're replicating the good life. I don't think many people do that. The last farm that was in our parish was here, and that went a few years ago. And most people in our country are not in any real danger of hunger. We no longer face starvation if our harvests in this country fail. So what is the relevance of Harvest Thanksgiving? Is there any point in celebrating it? If you think about our lives now, they are unimaginable to people even 150 years ago, when famine and death from starvation or the disease that malnourished bodies couldn't cure were real threats. The last famine in Great Britain occurred in Highland Scotland in 1856. There was a second potato famine in Ireland in 1879. If you were poor at that time, and most people were, food was basic. It was what could be produced around you. Your breakfast would have been bread, probably soaked in milk and salt, thin oatmeal and water, perhaps bread and butter. I wonder what you had for breakfast this morning. Any volunteers?
Porridge.
Oats. Oats may have come from Scotland. What else?
Grandpa.
Apple and toast.
Apple and toast.
An apple from the garden.
80% of our grain making bread comes from this country. If you had muesli, then the almonds come from the United States. The Brazil nuts would have come from the Amazon. The pineapple might well come from Costa Rica. Your tea probably came from India, may have come from somewhere more exotic. If it was coffee, it might have come from Kenya, Ethiopia. We get our food and our sustenance from so many sources now. And I wonder if you actually do ever stop to think where all our food and things that we rely on come from. We have absolutely enormous choices, don't we? You just need to think about the aisles of Tesco, two full aisles of cereals. There's so much choice. And I wonder actually how grateful we are for it. For the variety and the quantity of food that we have, for the animals, the farmers, the growers, the traders, the processors, the technologists, the people who provide transport, the retailers who make all our well-being possible. We have an enormous amount to be grateful for. But I think an interesting thing and a sad thing is that while most of us in Britain have shelter and more food and possessions than we actually need, yet we're also reckoned to be amongst the most anxious and unhappy people. Amidst all that plenty that most of us have, we can easily forget where our real security and our happiness lie. We forget that everything that we've got, including our lives, is ultimately a gift from God. As you heard in the lesson from Deuteronomy, God promised his people that he'd provide enough for their needs and more if they lived in obedience to his laws. And that's a big if, actually. One of the law's requirements that was set out in Deuteronomy was care for the most marginalized people in Jewish society, the widow, the orphan, the person with no means of support. And at harvest time, the law required that the edges of the grain fields were to be left uncut, that one sheaf was to be left in the field so that the poor could glean, and then would have food to survive for another year. Why? Out of gratitude. Gratitude to that bounteous, that faithful God who'd rescued them from Egypt. That same God who's given us the greatest gift of new life in Christ. Our readings tonight reflect that theme of gratitude. We haven't heard the gospel reading today, but that's the story, which probably a lot of you know, the story of that rich man, the fool, who had a huge harvest, more than he could ever expected, and congratulated himself on his good fortune. He planned to build a large barn and to settle down in self-satisfied luxury. God appeared and called him a fool because he was going to die that day and everything that he planned for was going to be lost. God didn't condemn him for his good fortune, but for his total lack of generosity. He failed to recognise that his good fortune was God's gift. He'd never even thought of sharing his harvest with the poor. And that lesson applies to us too. If we have more than enough, then we're meant to share it. At every communion service, we offer God back the gifts that he's given to us in the form of money, of bread and wine. We offer them back in thanksgiving to be used in his service and in the service of others. It's gratitude that leads to generosity. And how does that relate to us? Well, as you know, in the West, most of us are actually distanced from the poor and the realities of their lives, aren't we? Even those in our own country. We're separated from the source of our food. Few of us farm. Our economic currency isn't grain, it's money. But some of our money, representing the harvest of our own work, is taken by our government in taxes, and it's used on our behalf for the welfare of those in need, in the form of benefits and in aid to those abroad. And we don't have any choice about that, although we can influence government policy by the way we vote. You just think about the promises being bandied around at the moment in advance of next May's election. Promises to cut benefits. I wonder how our gratitude might be shown for what we have, how that might be reflected in our political decisions. But we also need to take personal action. As a church and as individuals, we support Christian Aid. We support agencies that work for fair trade. We support many good causes. We might perhaps also ask our local large supermarkets about how they treat their suppliers. We might give food to our local food bank. We might support the Welcome Project in Leicester. I think all of us need reminding at times that actually we've done nothing to deserve our own good fortune, our good fortune in living in a country of plenty. We hadn't any choice of when or where or to whom we were born, but neither do those people whose image we see on TV or we see in the papers, the displaced, the starving people, the innocent children with their arms outstretched. They are begging, not for the luxuries that we enjoy, but for anything that we can give. And nearer to home, the recession has brought that onto our own streets. Anyone's fortunes can soon be reversed. We've seen the bosses of big corporations reduced to sleeping on the streets. There are many in our own society who are marginalised and hungry and homeless. The interesting and I think perhaps the most surprising thing is that it's often the people who have the very, very least who are the most aware of their dependence on God, and their gratitude and their generosity often shames those of us who are secure and well off. I think many people who've been to countries in Africa, in the third world, have experienced that hospitality of some of the world's poorest people, who have often given their whole day's food to provide a meal for an honoured guest. Some years ago, when I worked in the centre of Leicester, I got to know a big issue seller called Matt, who sold the big issue near Boots and Gallery Gate, and I buy the paper from him most weeks. He was homeless. He lost his job and his home through drug use. And selling the big issue, he was hoping to make enough to get into a decent hostel. On this particular day, it was the middle of winter. It was one of those horrible Leicester days of grey, freezing cold rain. And consequently, he'd only sold a couple of magazines. People on days like that tend not to stop, they tend to put their heads down and walk by. They have to buy a magazine in order to sell it at a small profit. I bought my copy and I stopped and chatted to him. And I gave him a little extra, and I felt a reasonable cosy glow of benevolence of having done it. As we talked, he told me in passing that he'd just seen a little boy come out of Boots with his mum in floods of tears, and he asked what was the matter. It was the little boy's birthday, and he'd lost his birthday money. He'd gone into Boots to spend it.
Poor little boy.
And Matt had given him the £2 that he'd earned that morning. And I was absolutely gobsmacked. He put my easy gesture, which had cost me nothing really, absolutely to shame. I think it's when we know in our own hearts how truly blessed we are through God's love, God's mercy, that then we'll naturally want to share what we have with others, because everything that we have is given to us by God to be shared. We are all part of one another. We are all God's children. And God calls each one of us to be his fellow workers, his hands, his feet, his eyes in the world, to share our gifts, our goods, our wealth with those who actually need them. There is enough in our world for everybody. We just need to open our grasping hands and our hearts. And actually, we are the losers if we don't, because it's only open hands and hearts that can receive God's blessings. The overflowing gratitude of our own hearts for the harvest and all those other gifts of mind and body and spirit that God gives us will mean that we too are blessed, and that we also are part of God's blessing upon his whole world. Amen.
Amen.